So this morning we're talking about being stronger and stronger families, and we're wrapping up this series on stronger, and we're looking forward to what God's going to speak to us this morning. Just thinking along these lines, I remember when I was 24 years old and I was driving through the city of Dothan, Alabama, and I was looking for a Papa John's pizza place, and I was scared. And I was nervous, and I was afraid, and I was shaking, and I was praying, not because I don't know how to order pizza, I'm very good at that, but because of what was waiting for me after I got the pizza. I was so afraid, because the day before, if you would rewind and go the day before, my wife and I hurriedly got into our vehicle, and we left Marianna, Florida, and we were driving to Dothan, and that fight or flight kind of adrenaline was coursing through my veins, and I was scared to death, and I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And then the fast forward, I'm at Papa John's, and I'm afraid for what's going to happen in the future, and I don't know what's going to happen when I get back, and because apparently after your wife gives birth, she wants pizza from Papa John's, you know, not just any pizza, but Papa John's pizza. And so I was on a mission to get the right pizza for her. And then when I got back shortly thereafter, the hospital staff escorted us down to our car, and they gave me this little baby boy. I'm like, shouldn't I have like a license for this? Like, is there some kind of a class or something? What am I going to do? And I put him in a car seat, and we put him in the car, and we strap him in. And I don't know if you've ever put anybody in a car seat, any kid in a car seat. Like, car seats are like, what do you do with this thing? And it was just nerve-wracking. We were so afraid we're going to blow this thing. We're going to just blow it up. We're going to mess this thing up. And I was a student pastor at a church at that point in my life, and all of the kids in our student ministry wanted to see this brand new baby boy and our child, and so we had him in the car, and it was a Wednesday night, and we pull up at our church parking lot, and all the kids, like 60 or so kids, get around. They come, they're going to see him, and I'm like, well, you're not going to touch him, and you're not going to get like middle school cooties on him. And so we left him in the car, and they just kind of gazed at him through the window, and we're like, hey. And it was like we were at the zoo or something. You're like, what are you doing in there, little guy? And you know, but that seems like yesterday to me. Fast forward, he's 16 years old, finishing sophomore year, getting ready for university, applying for jobs, can't wait to finally have his full driver's license. And like, life is just flying by. Like, if you're a parent, if you've been a parent for 5 minutes, you know this is true, right? Like, if you've been a parent for any length of time at all, you know that it's just going. That clock is ticking, 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 ticking. Because one of the best statements I've ever heard about being a parent is that the days are long, but the years are short. And if you're a senior in here, not a senior that's about to graduate, it's not all about you, but if you were a senior adult in here, you know this very well, don't you? You know that it wasn't very long ago that you just took your child to kindergarten. It happens, it goes so very fast. I actually have an app on my phone. It's called the Legacy app, and this app tells me how much time I have until my son graduates from high school. I've roughly got about 86 weeks, roughly. 86 weeks, 604 days, 14,507 hours, 870,443 minutes, 522,226, that's not correct, 52,226,599 seconds. It's going fast. Now, why in the world, you might ask, why would you want to know something like that? Why would you want to know how much time you have left? Because when I know how much time I have left, I'll do more with the time I have now. When we know how much time we have left, we tend to do more with the time we have now. And so what we want to do this morning is to encourage all of us as parents, because we're going to see here in a moment that we believe the family and the church are connected together, and we believe that God has a bigger plan for the family, and we want to encourage you with this one statement that we'll come back to later. What we do this week matters. What we do this week in the life of our children and the life of our family matters. What we do this week in the life of our grandchildren matters as we shape them for the things of God. Now, why would we think that this is something that we should even do in the first place? Well, it's very simple, because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, it says this: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You see, right at the beginning of the Jewish nation, right at the beginning, when at one point they had been slaves, and then God raised up a deliverer, and Moses rescued them out of slavery. And then as they are going to become this new people of God, God gives them a pattern, gives them a strategy on how to connect the things that God has done in their lives to the next generation. And the thing that he lays down as a strategy revolves around parents, not preachers. It's parents, not preachers, that have the most impact in the life of a child. We believe this so much around here that we use an analogy sometimes that we talk about building a fire. I don't know if you've ever built a fire in your backyard or built a fire when you were camping or so. Typically, you know, you're going to have a fire, you're going to have some kindling. And so we talk about stacking kindling up in the life of our children. We talk about, as we teach our children about God and who God is and what God has done in our lives and how God's been so faithful to us over the years, that we just simply stack kindling around them. And the analogy that we use, we say one day God is going to ignite that kindling in the life of that child, and he or she is going to come to realize that God is true and God is wonderful and God wants a relationship with you, and Jesus can be your friend forever and you can trust him and you can own this faith. And God ignites that in the heart and in the life of a child. When you go to build a fire, it's always good to have pages from your Bible. No, I'm just kidding. It's always good to have some just tinder, kind of help that fire start up. And so we just stack it all, just like that. And we continue to pray for our kids. And we continue to share about what God has done in your life and in their life. And on a day-to-day basis, you're simply stacking kindling. We believe this so much to be true in a child's life that we don't want you as parents just to feel like you're on your own to stack this kindling. Like, we really want to partner with you when it comes to these things. So much so that, well, we believe that Ephesians says it like this. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, we believe there's great importance here for all of us as families. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named." So every family, my family, your family, every family is named. "That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love," verse 18, "may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20 says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." There's a connection. As you saw at the very beginning of that passage with family, and at the very end of that passage with church. Now, obviously, we show up here this morning, and you can look around. If you think about it, you know that this building is not the church. This building is just a building. We are here with the gathered church. You and I are the church, and we've gathered here together in this building to celebrate who Jesus is. We've gathered together as the church. And so there's a connection between family and church, because obviously church has to have families to make up the church. And so we believe as a church that there's a partnership that has to happen from this, what we call our church family, to your family, my family. So much so, we actually have a strategy. This isn't something that we just hope happens. We actually have a strategy that we work through as a church. We work through a strategy to help connect with our families. And so much so, I want to invite some friends of mine up on the stage this morning and introduce you to. Many of you already know Erin Mashaw. Erin was leading worship a while ago, but Erin oversees all of our children's ministry. You can make her feel welcome as she walks up. Yeah. And maybe you haven't had an opportunity to meet Kevin Franklin yet, but Kevin oversees all of our student ministry. And I'll tell you, I've been doing church stuff since I was 19 years old. I'm 40 years old now, so that's a little bit of time now. I can tell you, honestly, this is a fantastic team to work with. We got a great team here at Church South Lake. I love everybody that we work with. It's very good. Okay. All right. So you guys didn't know that I was going to say that. That'll be the only nice thing I say for the rest of the time. Just kidding. So let's do this. We're talking about stronger families, and let's connect what we do in family ministry at our church and help them to understand or see how we're helping the church to become stronger families. So Kevin, what are some things that you guys are doing in student ministry that's going to help do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, the idea is we need to, and we talked about this in a couple of sermons years ago, contextualize truths. Scripture, the gospel, is universally true. But as we engage different cultures, different age groups, we learn in different ways at different phases of our life. So to try to partner with you as a family and make your family stronger, our church offers some things that are where we're actually contextualizing these truths to try to make them to where the students can comprehend them. So in student ministry, which is our middle school and high school groups, we actually are trying to push beyond some basic truths that Erin will share that we start with in children's ministry. We're trying to give our students an opportunity to own their faith. We want them to move beyond just being a consumer and actually be the church. So we want the faith that you are trying to pass down in accordance to Scripture to the next generation, we want them to now say, that is mine. And so now I need to take that to the world. So to do that, we have a service for teenagers, middle school and high school, on Wednesdays. We meet at 6:30 in here. We call it 521 Exchange. It's kind of a play on 2 Corinthians 5:21. But the room looks pretty different. We divide off some of it. We have a game. We have students in a band that are actually really talented, and they lead worship for us. We have students that will pray, read scripture. And then myself or another leader will teach some based on some biblical principle. And then we break out for what we think is the most important part of the night. And that is our small group time. It's where they're going to talk in gender and age specific groups with an adult leader there about the truths and really just what's going on in their life.
Yeah. So helping to create stronger families. What does it look like in children's ministry?
So we have a... I don't know what your experience was growing up in church, but when I grew up in church, I'm going to use a hunting analogy here, so you should all be impressed.
Okay.
So when I grew up in church, it was almost maybe like a shotgun approach where, like, we're just going to share, like, all kinds of Bible stories, all kinds of memory verses, all kinds of songs, and just hope that some of it sticks. And researchers who are smarter than I am have figured out that that's not really the most effective way for us to get our kids and students to understand God and his word. And so we try to be strategic, and you may hear a phrase that we use a lot, which is we want to teach less for more. So we have figured out what are the three things that we believe a preschooler can grab onto. For example, we think every preschooler should know and understand that God made me, God loves me, and Jesus wants to be my friend forever. So every Bible story that we do, every memory verse that we have, every song that we sing points back to one of those three truths. And the same for elementary schoolers. So we have, I need to make the wise choice. I should treat others the way I want to be treated, and I can trust God no matter what, because those are things that are age appropriate and a kindergarten through fifth grader can understand. And so every story we tell, every song, every verse comes back to one of those three truths. And yes, we, you know, appreciate having the kids in the service from time to time, but we feel like the best way for it to really stick for them is to do activities and lessons that are age appropriate for them.
So three truths for the younger ones, three truths for I just have a feeling that if you and I understood those six truths, like we can understand six truths, God made us, God loves us, Jesus wants to be our friend forever, we can trust God. If you and I could just grasp that, that'd be great, right? Like, right? Wouldn't it be good for us to walk out of here knowing, you know what, Jesus wants to be my friend? Yeah, I think that would actually change our families quite drastically. So we are teaching these concepts to their children. How are we helping them as families to connect also? I know that you guys do some stuff in children's ministry that you actually send some things home.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, first of all, we feel like every kid, every student who comes to our church needs to have a place and a person. We want them to have a place where they fit and where they belong, and a leader that they know cares about them and is invested in them, loves them, and is trying to teach them God's word. So that's what happens when they come here. And then what we try to do is send some things home that help you to know what's happening when they're at church so that we can be on the same page. So if you have a preschooler, when you pick up your child each week, you have a sheet of paper that's called a parent cue. And on the parent cue, it tells you what our memory verse for the month is, what we talked about that day, and it will also have some kind of suggested activity that you can do at home to reinforce what we talked about. And then if you have an elementary schooler, you have the similar thing, the parent cue that comes home and lets you know what we talked about. But also, we have a God time card that we send home every week, because we know that if what we're talking about at church and what you're talking about at home are the same thing, the likelihood that our kids are going to grab onto it is so much greater. So the God time card is four devotionals, four quiet time Bible studies that you can do with your child. They're so quick. Most of them take 5-10 minutes at the most. But there's four for every week. And actually, if your child completes that and brings it back in, they get a treat or a prize the next week. But those are some of the things we try to put in your hands to help equip you for being a stronger family.
That's great. What's happening in student ministry on those lines? I know that obviously things look a little different in student ministry than they do in children's ministry. What are some things that you guys are doing to help us grow as families to be stronger?
Right. It is ultimately, it's about supporting what you're doing already. If you're being obedient to Scripture, you're teaching your children the truths of Scripture. And we've talked before as a church how we have very limited time, but you have so much more time with your students. So we want you to extend the conversation. We want you to be talking about the truths that we're talking about. Something mysterious happens around the age of fifth graders. Once they go to middle school, mysteriously any paper that is sent home to a parent just disappears. You may have noticed that. It's just gone. So we don't actually send papers home like they do with children's ministry. We actually communicate primarily through technology, which is what most of you use on a regular basis and what your students are using. So we have some primary ways that you'll see up on the screen if you would like to plug into those. The first, like I said, our gathering is called 521 Exchange. 521exchange.com is a website, and on that we have a blog. We also have a calendar, so you can kind of stay up to date with what's going on. We have some resources on there as well, some apps that we think are very valuable that you could actually download with your student and kind of walk through some of our key doctrines and things together. But we also run a blog on that will echo some of the things we talk about on Wednesday nights. So students are encouraged to go to that, kind of refresh themselves on what we're teaching, what we're learning, but you're also very highly encouraged to go to that as well so that you can then talk to your student. Well, what did you think about what you guys talked about at youth last night? Or just have a conversation. Then we also have some social media accounts at 521 Exchange, Twitter and Instagram. You're welcome to follow that and see what kind of absurd adventures we go on. And then lastly, if you would like to get just text reminders, especially parents that need to know about important things that are coming up, event details, when camp money is due, things like that. 521 texts, send that to 81010 and you'll get some random texts. Sometimes I get stuck on weird things and might say things like, the theme of the week is a rat, so I might find a bunch of jokes about rats. So, sorry.
That's awesome. That's good. That's good. We look forward to that text. It's awesome. So there's one thing that's in common in children's ministry and in student ministry. It's actually a common denominator for us across the entire life of our church throughout our adults as well, and that's small groups, life groups. And so can you guys speak to how life groups work or small groups work and maybe even why we're doing that, even in children's ministry and in student ministry? Kevin, why don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As I said a few minutes ago, the real goal of student ministry is to help students move beyond being a consumer, beyond someone who just shows up and hears something taught or watches some performance or anything. Move beyond being a consumer and actually be the church. And we've talked about this as a church. As adults, we encourage you to be in a small group, because being the church doesn't happen on Sunday mornings when we just get together and hear something. We absolutely do some things that the church is called to do. We worship together and so forth. But Scripture is telling us all these things that we're supposed to do to one another. Those one another statements, they don't happen well when you're sitting in rows listening to someone on stage. They happen excellently in life. They happen in circles. So all those one another statements, we want our students to have the opportunity to do that. And so we give them time in small groups, which are really the same thing that most of you meet in your life groups. They're getting together. That's when they can encourage one another. They can love one another. They can admonish one another. They can confess their sins to one another. And really, they have a voice. You have a voice in a small group that you're not going to have when there's just 80 kids in here going crazy. But in that small group, you can have a voice. And you can ask tough questions. You can struggle through things together. But what's really important there is we don't just leave a bunch of like middle school boys together and then middle school girls. It is age and gender restricted, but we have a strategic partner there. We have an adult that we have selected, and we make sure that we're very careful about who we place with your child, so that's someone that's going to be echoing the things you're teaching them from Scripture. They're there to support you. So it's really important, and we'll talk about this more, but it's so important that you know your child's small group leader, because that's who's going to back you up when your kid's just not listening to you. And if you have a teenager, and we have all been teenagers, we know what that's like. There's going to be a moment where they're just not listening. But that small group leader might be able to call them at 2 in the morning when that kid's freaking out and just talk some sense into them. They're going to say the same things you're saying, but it's just widening the circle of influence. So small group leaders are so essential. Know them and trust that is going to be something that you'll see every week as we gather. They're going to have that opportunity to be the church and own their faith.
Yeah. Well, one thing I would add to that, something that is consistent across the board for children's ministry and student ministry, is that we do go to great lengths to find really good quality people to put as the leaders for your kids. And another thing is that we ask all of our small group leaders to serve every single week, which is obviously a little bit of a recruiting challenge because it's a big commitment to make. But we found that when we have the same group of kids and the same leader together every week, the way that they grab onto things, the way that they really digest and process what God's word says, is so much more significant. And I would just mention, if you're a parent in the room and you have a kindergarten through fifth grader, or actually even a preschooler through fifth grader, if you would try as much as possible to consistently attend the same service, because we're putting the same leader in place every single week, but if you sometimes attend first service or sometimes attend second service, then you're missing out on that benefit for your kids. So as much as possible, if you can choose and be faithful to the same service each week, then you're going to get that benefit of having the same group of peers, the same leader, and they get to be really close and tight-knit.
Because this idea of a small group and small group leaders really goes to one of our core values, and it's called widening. Kevin mentioned it a while ago, widening the circle of influence. And so if you come to one of us to talk about your family and your child, you may hear us say, hey, who is your child's small group leader? Who else is speaking into their lives besides you? Because as you mentioned a while ago, sometimes teenagers don't listen. Yours obviously do. Sometimes teenagers just don't listen, and sometimes we got to get people around them who are saying the same things to them that you're saying. They're just saying it a different way. We already do this. Think about it for just a second. If your child is having difficulty in math, what do you tend to do? You get a math tutor. If your child is having difficulty in any subject, you tend to get somebody else to come in and speak into their lives. We do this in athletics all the time. I take my daughter to a hitting coach, and there have been times where we walk in, and or as we're driving to practice, I'll say, hey, you know, you're not hitting so well because you're doing this, this, and this, or you're not doing this, this, and this. And I'll tell her like two or three things. And she'll be like, nah, it's not true. I do those things. I'm like, no, you don't. And we'll get there, and she'll get with the hitting coach. It's somebody speaking into her life. And they'll get to the hitting coach, and the hitting coach is like, hey, you know what? You're not doing this, this, and this. And I'm sitting over there like, that's right. I just told her that. And she's like, oh, wow, that's you're right. I'm not doing those things. And then she completely changes. And on the way home, I'm like, I said that to you, but it just made sense when somebody else said it. That's what we're trying to do, similar things. Why don't we do that with spirituality? Why don't we do that with what really matters the most, right? Bring in other influences into our children's lives to speak some of the same things that you and I are speaking, but they just say it in a different way, and it connects. So there's a point in every, really there's a point in every child's life where they begin to realize that all of the adults in their lives are actually paid to be there. Think about it. Their teachers are paid to be there. Every adult in their life except you, their parent, grandparents. Here's what we want to see happen. We want you to walk out of here on a Sunday or a Wednesday and say, who are these people that love our children for free? Who are these people that invest in our children's lives for free? So we joke around sometimes. We don't actually do childcare over there, do we?
We do not babysit your children.
We do not babysit nope. at all. Everything we do is strategic. Everything we do is we are trying to stack kindling. And we're trying to help you actually stack kindling around the heart and life of your child. Because we believe that one day that kindling is actually going to ignite. And we believe one day that God is going to set that on fire. We believe that a student is going to one day own his or her faith. And if that student has had the opportunity to come all the way from children's ministry, all the way through tracking several years, we know that when they walk into student ministry, there's been a lot of kindling stacked around them. But we, the church, we as the church, like church leaders, we can't do this by ourselves. We have to have you in place. Before you guys go, that's like one thing that you would want them as parents to connect with before we finish our little time together.
I would just say, which I said earlier, no parent feels like they're doing a great job at this. You just have to keep at it. You got to wake up every morning and do your very best and just constantly be asking God for help. But nobody feels like they're great at it, so you just have to keep at it.
I've taught high school for a number of years now, and I would say for teenagers in particular, the one thing that I would tell you to just immediately start working on and being a stronger family is talk to your teenager. Even when they act like they don't want you around at all, which we know is basic psychology, it's a part of adolescence. You're forging a new identity. And if you think about it, from a very young age, if you mess up when you're a five-year-old, where do you fall? You fall on your parents. You fall on the people that are raising you. They're basically making decisions for you. You can screw up still and everything, but when you fall, there's that sense of security that, oh, well, like mom and dad are there. But when you get to your teenage years and you're starting to have more freedom and you're making real decisions for yourself, that's terrifying. You can probably remember back to when you were a teenager how volatile your emotions were, and maybe still are, but it's crazy up and down because there's a lot more danger. There's a lot more pressure when you're stepping out. And that's, again, in student ministry, we're asking them to own their faith. Even if they act like they want nothing to do with you, I promise you, I've talked to thousands of kids at this point. They desperately want you to talk to them. They want you to know what's really going on in their life. Ask them, what was the best thing that happened to you today? And then, again, like we talked about from Deuteronomy, constantly, in everything, be pointing it back to loving God with everything you have.
Yeah. Because we believe that one day God's going to ignite a fire. That one day God is actually going to set a flame to the life of your child. And we believe that God is going to breathe life into his or her heart. And that she's going to own her faith. that he's going to own his faith. We believe that's true, and we want to partner with you in that. Listen, it's never too early to start this process, and it is never too late. Start now. It's never too early, never too late to start the process of helping your child form spirituality in their lives. The most important thing 100 years from now is going to be your child's relationship with God. What does that look like? We mentioned a lot about our small groups and small group leaders and the idea of widening the circle. What we've provided for you this morning is up here on the stage. We actually have little business cards that have all of our small group leaders in children's ministry and student ministry listed on here. I happened to pick up Brenda Kowalczyk. And Brenda, if you're here, Brenda's actually working with your kids right now next door. But what we want you to do is we actually want you to come up this morning after the service and pick up one of the cards that represents for your kid. And so we want you to be able to connect with that small group leader. So text them, email them, call them. When something's going on that's good in the life of your family and in your child's life, let the small group leader know. We have small group leaders that show up to softball games and soccer matches. We have small group leaders that go to recitals because they want your kids to know that they care and they're there and they love them. They show up for free. They show up and invest in the heart and life of our children for free. Who are these adults that love our kids for free? Let me ask you a question. If you don't have children at home, maybe your children have already graduated and moved on, and maybe you did church thing a long time ago, wouldn't this have been something pretty amazing to be a part of as a young family? Wouldn't you have wanted to raise your children in a church where they partnered together like this? I think it's a beautiful thing. This brings to a point here, we need your help. We need your help. We can't do this completely by ourselves. The three of us cannot partner with everybody together. We need your help. We need some more small group leaders to help us out, to connect with children. We're not babysitting. We're actually helping to shape the next generation, and we're partnering with parents. Parents, it's never too early, and it's never too late. Start now. What can you do this week to start this process in the life of your child? What can you do this week? We're stacking kindling around them. I know when I mess up, when I blow it, which I quite often do, and there are times where I have to go to my son or my daughter and I say, you know what, guys? I shouldn't have responded that way. I shouldn't have talked to you like that. I didn't show very much patience in your life, and I am very, very sorry. Here's what I quite often do. Dad needs a savior just like you need a savior. You need a savior, so does your dad. And when I am honest with my children, my shortcomings and my failings, when we are honest with them in some of those age-appropriate ways and areas, that's stacking kindling around them, constantly looking for ways to bring the conversation back around to who Jesus is, the gospel, the message, what God's doing in our lives and our family, making it part of our everyday rhythm. It's not too early. And it's never too late. Start now. What can you do today, this very week, this very moment? Because, as we said earlier, what you do today matters. What you do today matters. Maybe you're not sure about this thing called faith. Maybe you're not even sure how to lead your children because you don't know if you have this relationship or if God has ever ignited that flame in your heart and life. And here in just a moment, we're going to sing a song of worship and we're going to close out the service and we're going to celebrate here in a moment with baptism. Listen to this, guys. Last week, we baptized 7 people and we had 3 baby dedications. How awesome was that? That's very, very good. Yeah. We're going to celebrate today with another baptism as well. But maybe some of this doesn't make sense. Maybe you have questions about your faith and your relationship with God. I'd love to speak with you. In just a moment, I'll be down front at the close of our service. Would love to talk to you about what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and how you can know that you have the gift of heaven and that you can know God forever. Let me pray for us. as we move into this time of worship. And as we go into this time of worship and you're sitting there at your seat and your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I'll answer this question. What can you do today to start this process? What can we do as a family today? We're not asking you to do a lot, just a start, just a start. What can you do today? Father, we love you. You're so good to us. Thank you for coming after us. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you for bringing us to yourself. And God, we are thankful for the fact that you've ignited that flame in our hearts. So Father, we just pause and we pray that you would help us as parents, as dads, as moms, as parents in the room, that you would help us as grandparents to communicate how awesome you have been to us, to our children. Help us to be faithful in that. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.